time like today to get into some great information. And you don't really need an introduction anymore, but you can go right ahead and let them know who you are. Well,
good afternoon. My name is Ty Pinkins, and you're tuned into Community Conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice,
all right,
where we believe that an informed consumer is an empowered consumer, and we want you to be empowered through the information we present on our show today. Good afternoon, Big V. How are you?
I am great. Today we're going to get into some air property.
Air property, right. Yeah. On today's show, we're discussing air property.
Okay.
And land ownership, whether it be a family farm or a home site in town, is considered an asset and often a measure of wealth. Wars have been fought over land ownership, which is of interest to many parties, including those concerned with social justice. According to studies conducted by the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, 60% of land in the United States is owned by private individuals and corporations. The rest is owned by federal, state, and local governments, with the federal government being the largest landowner. By 1910, black land ownership had grown to approximately 15 million acres. The vast majority of the land owned by blacks was in Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, and you guessed it, Mississippi.
All right.
By 2017, according to the Census of Agriculture, only 3.8 million acres, that's out of the original 15 million that black people own, only 3.8 million acres were owned by blacks, a significant decrease from that 15 million that we previously mentioned.
Okay.
The land had been passed often on to family members without a will or clear title. So the question is, what happened?
That's a great question. And what's great about today is this is why we have a guest today, Mrs. Beth Olansky there from the Mississippi Center for Justice. And hopefully I got the last name correct there. But Beth, you can correct me if I didn't get the enunciation correct. How are you doing today, Beth?
Good. You did just right. How are you, Big Ben? Thanks for having me.
All right. So today we're discussing air property. So could you give us, help us understand about air property a little bit more, please?
Sure. So first I like to tell people we're talking about air property, H-E-I-R, for people who come after other people in the line of succession, as opposed to A-I-R. People think I talk about space law all the time. we're talking about people that's inheriting property.
Yes, ma'am.
As Todd mentioned, challenges associated with heirs' property has been the leading cause of involuntary land loss among black Americans, particularly in the South. When someone dies without a will, then they're called intestate, because testate means you have a will, and the state of Mississippi then decides who's going to inherit the property.
Okay.
So basically, property is divided among the children of the deceased person, and the surviving spouse gets the same share as one of the children. And that's pretty simple, but if a child dies before a parent, that child's share goes to his or her children, if there were any. So after someone dies and they just have a couple kids, it's not too difficult. Everybody knows who belonged to who and you know who the heirs are. But when nothing is done to change the title to property for several generations, then we get multiplied numbers of heirs, people with very small fractions of interest.
Okay.
So it's land owned jointly by descendants of a deceased person whose estate was never handled in probate. That means it never went to court to determine who the new owners of property are.
Gotcha.
What's interesting about heir property is that each heir owns an undivided percentage of the land as a whole. So no individual heir can lay claim to a specific part of the property. So if you own 10% of 100 acres, you can't claim your 10 acres and say that's yours. You own 10% of the land as a whole.
Gotcha.
And so the heirs have the right to use the property, but they don't have clear title because the owner of the property is deceased. Without the court proceeding to clean up the title, third parties like buyers or lenders have no way of knowing who really owns the property and whether any claims might apply to the property.
Wow. Okay. So that means that the heirs can't sell mortgage or deal with a real estate agent regarding the property.
Well, it's complicated. So everyone shares ownership with everybody else. So it's very difficult to sell, mortgage, or deal with heirs property. Over time, as each generation passes, the ownership of the property becomes more and more fragmented and divided among larger groups of people. So when I deal with clients who come to me with air property issues, I tell them to draw a family tree and just keep going in each branch till they get to a live person. And the number of people who have died in each branch will each have their own heirs,
okay,
unless they left a will or transferred the property before the death. They died. So it's hard to mortgage the property or make improvements because a lender will look at the property and realize that an individual person does not have title to the whole thing. And so it's not really good collateral for a loan because another owner could come in and object to what they're trying to do with it. It's mostly ineligible for federal assistance unless you jump through a whole lot of hoops. And many lessees, like tenants or timber companies, don't want to go enter into a lease because they're afraid if they pay one person for the timber, somebody else will come to them later and say, wait, you paid the wrong guy.
Wow.
So when it's passed through several generations, many, if not most, of the heirs have left Mississippi. You know, we've got this great migration.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't even know they have an interest in family land. So they could be in Chicago and didn't know that great uncle, whoever, died and left them property. Usually there's at least one or more family members who stay in Mississippi. They often live on the land, and they take care of it for everybody. And they usually understand that they don't own it by themselves, but they feel very strongly that it should stay in the family. And if that person makes sure the taxes are paid, the property stays in the family, owned jointly by all the heirs. And as people keep dying, it's more and more heirs.
Okay.
But if no one takes responsibility, if everybody's gone or the person here can't afford the taxes and nobody will help, then the land can be sold to a stranger for taxes and lost forever. So the best way to avoid this is to deal with estates promptly, and that keeps the title clear and allows heirs to sell or mortgage the property at will.
Wow. Okay. What we'll do is we'll come back and then we will get into some more information about heir property.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds good. All right.
Series are heirs. So when you do a will, you can give your property to anybody you want. So you can give it to a friend or a companion or a charity, whoever, and that would not be who the state of Mississippi would have chosen for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the friend is a beneficiary as designated to the deceased person's will or other arrangement.
Yeah. So how did heirs' property become such a big problem?
Well, this type of succession where property is passed without a will stems from Reconstruction when African Americans gained property rights. Land ownership became very important. After working the land as enslaved people, African Americans understood how valuable it was. At that time, African Americans often did not create wills to establish formal ownership for future generations because they didn't have access to the legal system, or they didn't trust it, or they couldn't afford it. So they just passed it down by word of mouth. Families knew which land belonged to them and tried to hold on to it. But as we've discussed, if more generations die off and people move, the connection to the land diminishes, and strangers can come in and buy individual interests, forcing a sale of the whole property. I have not been able to pin down exactly how much land in Mississippi is heirs property. I'm going to assign that to a summer intern this year, but throughout the South, it's clear that African-American land is a fraction of what it was 150 years ago. It's not just said in the introduction.
It's fascinating.
Wow.
So can heirs property be sold?
So that's a little complicated, too. Any heir can sell his or her interest in the property to anyone in the family or not. And then what the purchaser gets is that heir's percentage of the property as a whole. So as I said before, if you own 1/10 of 100 acres, you don't own 10 particular acres. So what you would be selling is your 1/10 of the whole.
Mm.
And so each heir is considered a tenant in common.
Mm-hmm.
So they each own it together, but they each have the ability to do whatever they want to with their percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens, so say you sell your 1/10 to somebody else, a stranger, a developer, or somebody, then they can come in and tell the court, we want to split it up. And they call that partition, and you can split it up by dividing the land or by selling it, and nobody can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So if any heir, it doesn't matter how small the percentage is, asks for a petition, the others can't stop it. They can just hope to get the best deal out of the partition. And over time, as the number of owners reaches into the dozens, the risk of a money grab increases, and family members become targets for real estate developers looking to score property below market value in popular locations.
Mm-hmm.
Having generations of landowners all entitled to the same tract of land challenges families whose co-owners may disagree on how or whether to preserve it. You know,
wow.
You get three generations down, and the people can decide, I don't care about this property. I'd rather get whatever I can out of it.
I feel like I'm back in my property class in law school.
Yeah. This is, but you know, this is great info that people need to know. So a distant family member looking for some money, for instance, which most distant family members do, could they try to force a sale, contrary to the wishes of other family members? Can they do that?
They can. So if all of the heirs agree on the terms of the sale, then the court will usually agree to that proposal. But if anyone with a fractional interest in the property wants to sell it, they can force a sale in court, even if the others want to keep the land of the family. And the court is supposed to prefer a division of the land instead of a sale. Sometimes it's impractical to divide the land into many fractional pieces, and so they'll just order a sale and divide the money. So developers who want to capitalize on attractive and profitable properties could buy a single share and then become the newest owner of the property and force a sale. And traditionally, the sales were held at the courthouse, and the developer could come up with the cash and pay it, and the family members wouldn't be able to compete with them. And it's usually sold quickly and for less than market value. And so even when it's sold, they don't get what it's worth.
Wow. So what we'll do is we'll come back, and then we'll let people know, like, where does the Mississippi Center for Justice come in at. So we will come back, and then we'll get into that.
Okay.
97.9 The Beat, definitely your number one station for hip-hop and R&B. And then, you know, on Tuesdays is information with the Mississippi Center for Justice. So we are talking about heir property and what we are doing now. So where does the Mississippi Center for Justice come in, and how is the center seeking to assist people with heir property issues? How do you guys do that?
So, you know, I'm sure Ty has mentioned on the previous programs that our tagline is racial and economic justice, and heir property fits right in with both of those goals, because it, as we mentioned, the heir property is particularly egregious among African Americans in Mississippi, and it also cheats people out of their assets. And so we are interested in trying to solve this problem for people. It came to our attention after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and people had to prove that they owned their homes in order to get money to fix them up. And at that time, the SBA would lend money if they got an heirship affidavit listing all of the heirs with permission from everybody to have the work done by one designated heir. So since then, calls kept coming in to us about what do we do about it. And I'm the advocacy director at the center, and so I actually have a lot of other responsibilities, but it's just such an interesting area of the law to me that I've worked with three or four families a year to try to untangle their property. But this year, starting in January, we were really excited to get a grant to assist low-income families with heir property issues. And so we have a lawyer and a paralegal who are working on these cases.
Nice.
And if you need help, you can call our dedicated hotline, 1-800-952-HEIR.
Okay.
Or email hp@mscenterforjustice.org. Can I do that again?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The number is 800-952-HEIR, and the email is hp@mscenterforjustice.org. So we have learned that families who want to clear their title often don't have the resources to pay the legal fees. Sometimes they're land poor and don't have the resources to come up with money for the lawyers. And sometimes the land isn't even worth as much as it would cost in legal fees. So we are really excited to have the opportunity to provide free legal services for people.
Nice.
To do that. So I was going to give you three quick examples of the types of things that have come to us. I have one family that came to me 3 years ago. One-third of the property was transferred to a company. A number of heirs went together and gave theirs to this company that co-owns it with them. The family members are trying to put together a limited liability company to own the land so it won't keep going to more and more heirs as people die. And then that entity will deal with that other company to divide the land up. So the family will maintain ownership of 2/3 of the property and not risk losing it.
Okay.
3 years later, we're still trying to get everybody's signature, but we're getting close. I had another case where someone had her mother and two uncles shares, and so she had the equivalent of 20 acres worth of property, and she went out and got it surveyed and gave everybody notice that she wanted those 20 acres, and we went to court, and she was able to get what she wanted. So she got it separated from everybody else. And then I had one other case that has just still lingered for about 4 years where somebody called me up and told me that there's only about 5 heirs had left and that everybody else had died and nobody knew anything about any of them, and they wanted to divide the property up. And right after we got some deeds done, we discovered about 70 more heirs.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It has not been pretty, and we're trying to find an equitable solution to divide it up. And the happy news is my client, who hadn't seen her father in 11 years and thought he was dead, has just been reunited with him. So
nice.
It's all kind of very deep into family issues there.
Mm. Okay.
So has Mississippi enacted any recent laws pertaining to heir property that community members should be aware of?
Yes. So in 2020, Mississippi became, I think, the 17th mm-hmm. state maybe to pass the Uniform Partition of Heirs Property Act. And so it's not a solution to the issue of having to find every single heir or get unanimous consent to do anything, but it does help for the low-income families who have been dispossessed of their property and much of their real property-related wealth over the past several decades. So the Uniform Act seeks to make it easier to divide the property and preserve family wealth as the owners multiply over generations. There are two main provisions of the Uniform Act that I find very helpful. One is that if an heir wants to sell his interest to anybody, then the other heirs have the right of first refusal. So you can't sell it to a third party or a company or somebody unless the other heirs decline to buy it from them.
Okay.
So that is a good way of keeping it in the property. And then the other provision is that you have a fair market sale of the property instead of an auction on the courthouse.
Mm.
So the proceeds would be better with a real fair market sale.
Nice.
Than if you had the developers doing it. So it's a good start. And it's also helped get more federal assistance by passing the act. So I think it's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, that's absolutely excellent information, because I know there are so many community members throughout the Mississippi Delta particularly that are struggling with this issue. Thank you so much,
Thank you so much for joining us
today and taking me back to law school and providing all of us with this information. And thank you for joining us on the Community Conversation with the Mississippi Center for Justice. As always, if any listeners should have any consumer protection related questions, you can look us up at mscenterforjustice.org or call us at 844-397-4625. And also, if you have any heir property issues you want to discuss with someone, I want to repeat that number that Beth gave us earlier.
Okay.
800-952-HEIR or email at hp@mscenterforjustice.org. Thank you all again for listening on this episode of Community Conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice. Please join us again next Tuesday at 3:30 p.m.
There
DJ
it is.
Big V.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you, Beth. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, there it is. 97.9 The Beat.
There we go. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Hit this highway.
All right.